Okay, thank you. Good morning. O buenos dias.
Buenos dias.
I'm probably going to get quite confused here with the translation. He speaks Spanish and I speak Spanglish, and I don't know. We just kind of mix it all up. But the pastor said that I am the interpreter. What I like to say is that I am the interrupter. And so I will be interrupting his presentation and message. Privileged to be here at Cornerstone. Is that right? First time I've been here at Cornerstone, but got to meet your pastor up at some pastors' meetings up north, and just wanted to have more fellowship with him since then. So I'm glad for this opportunity to be here. Christian Montaldi is visiting us, visiting our family, and visiting Minnesota in particular, now for a few weeks in the month of July. And so happy to have him here and share his testimony and the ministry that God has given to them in the land of Uruguay. How many of you know where Uruguay is? Is it in Africa? I got a letter one time addressed to Uruguay, Africa, and it got to Uruguay, South America. Okay, I'm going to stop talking and let Christian take over from here.
Okay. Bueno, muy buenos días para todos y muchas gracias por la oportunidad, Pastor, y también Iglesia, de poder compartir con ustedes esta mañana.
Good morning to all of you, and it's a privilege to be here to know your pastor and to get to know the congregation here.
Sé que es un día especial no solamente por ser el día del Señor, sino porque están celebrando también el día de la Independencia.
I know it's a very special day, not only Sunday, but it's also a day to celebrate the independence of this country.
Así que agradezco la oportunidad.
I'm very thankful for this opportunity on this special day.
Nací en Argentina en el 77.
I was born in Argentina in the year 1977.
Mi madre católica no practicante.
My mother was Catholic, but she wasn't a practicing Catholic.
Y mi padre comunista y ateo.
And my father was a communist and an atheist.
Tengo un hermano mayor.
I have a older brother.
Y cuando yo tenía 9 años, mi familia se desintegró.
And when I was 9 years old, my family just broke apart.
Y yo empecé a tomar malas decisiones y me metí en el mundo de las drogas.
And I began to make bad decisions, and I got into the world of drugs.
Estuve alrededor de 10 años en las drogas.
I was about 10 years in the world of drugs.
Pero cuando tenía 21 años, una persona, durante un mes, cada noche por 2 o 3 horas, me estuvo predicando el Evangelio.
When I was 21 years old, then there was a person for a month, a whole month, spent 2 or 3 hours every night explaining to me the message of the Bible and the plan of salvation.
No hacía falta que me explicara mucho de que yo era un pecador.
It didn't take much time for her to explain to me that
yo lo sabía bien.
That I was a sinner. I knew that very well, that I was very sinful.
Pero me costaba entender de que un Dios santo amara a alguien tan pecador.
But it really was difficult for me to understand that a holy God would love someone who was as sinful as I was.
Y el 5 de diciembre de 1998, en mi cuarto, me puse de rodillas.
And when I was in the 5th of December in 1998, in my room in the morning, I put I got down on my knees by my bed.
Y le pedí a Cristo que perdonara todos mis pecados y que le aceptaba, reconocía que él había muerto y había resucitado por mí.
And I prayed that God would forgive my sins and believe that Jesus really did die for me on the cross.
En abril de 1999, Dios abrió las puertas para que pueda ir a estudiar Instituto Bíblico.
In April of 1999, God opened the doors so that I would be able to study in a Bible institute.
Y allí nos debemos haber conocido con el Pastor Tim.
And there was where evidently we were together when Pastor came to visit at the Word of Life Bible Institute.
Hace 22 años atrás y hace tal vez para mí unos 40 kilos atrás.
There was about 22 years ago and quite a few pounds more. Here we are.
Pero allí en Instituto Bíblico aprendí a conocer el Dios que me salvó.
And in Bible Institute I came to really know in a deeper way the God who had saved me.
Y lo que él dice en su palabra y lo que él quiere que haga para él.
And what God says in his word and what he wants me to do.
Allí también conocí a mi esposa, ella es de Costa Rica.
And there I came to know the lady that's now my wife, she was from Costa Rica.
Zaida viajó a estudiar Instituto Bíblico para prepararse para servir a Dios.
I went to she had come there to the Bible Institute to study and prepare herself to serve the Lord.
Y cuando me vio, quedó impactada y dijo, "Qué hombre más hermoso."
And when she saw me, she was impacted and she said, "Wow, what a beautiful what a handsome." What a handsome guy. Is that what you said? Oh, yeah.
Entonces se puso los lentes y dijo, "Ah, no."
Then she put on her glasses and she said, "Oh no. Okay, now I see."
Nos casamos el 21 de septiembre del 2002 y fuimos a servir a Costa Rica por 6 años.
And we got married in on the 22nd of September 2022. Too many numbers for me to remember. 2002. And then we went to Costa Rica and served the Lord together for 6 years.
Yes. Y en el 2008 fuimos a servir al Señor en Uruguay.
And in 2008 we went to Uruguay to begin to serve him there.
Yes. Cuando estaba en Instituto Bíblico se escuchaba decir de Uruguay que era el cementerio de las misiones.
And when I was in Bible Institute we heard about Uruguay being the country that is the cemetery of missionaries.
Y no porque los maten, sino porque es un país muy ateo.
Not because they kill them in Uruguay, but because the country is so agnostic and atheistic and it discourages the missionaries quickly.
Y muchos tiran la toalla, ¿se entiende?
And many throw in the towel after a short period of time.
Yes. Bueno, Dios me dio la oportunidad de tener mi esposa y ahora tenemos 3 preciosos hijos.
And God gave me the privilege to have my wife and now we have 3 precious children.
Yes. Y les pido que oren para que yo pueda ser equilibrado en cuidar mi familia y servir al Señor.
And my particular prayer request is that I would find the proper balance between my family. Yes. And the ministry. Yes. and the so many opportunities in ministry, but not to to not give the time to my family that I should.
Pastor, si está bien, si en el segundo tiempo pasamos la presentación y mejor vamos al estudio.
Sí.
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 Okay.
He's asking if we do the PowerPoint later in the service, and we'll get into a little study in God's Word here together this morning.
Yeah. Okay. Entonces, si pueden ir a sus Biblias, a Hechos capítulo 26.
If you can turn in your Bibles, please, to Acts chapter 26. Acts 26. All right.
Okay. El versículo 18.
Verse number 18. I'll read it here in my version. To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me.
Amén. Estas eran las palabras que el Señor Jesucristo le dijo al apóstol Pablo.
These are the words that Jesus Christ spoke to the apostle Paul.
Tal vez por eso también en sus Biblias aparecen en rojo.
Perhaps in your Bibles, that's why it shows up in red letters.
Yes. Pero ahora Pablo se la estaba diciendo al rey Agripa.
But now Paul is speaking to King Agrippa.
¿Por qué?
Why?
Bueno, los principales sacerdotes y los ancianos del pueblo judío,
those the principal priests and religious leaders and the people of Israel,
habían hecho una acusación contra Pablo porque él predicaba de que Cristo había resucitado o que Cristo estaba vivo.
And they had a conflict with the apostle Paul because he was preaching Jesus Christ risen from the dead.
Y qué hermoso, ¿no? Yo no sé si ustedes lo anhelan, pero cómo me gustaría que podamos ser perseguidos porque predicamos de que Cristo está vivo.
I don't know if you understand or feel the way I do, but what a privilege to be persecuted for the name of Christ, for preaching the truth and the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Primero lo llevaron a Festo, y Festo lo llevó ante el rey Agripa.
First they took him to before Festus, and then Festus before the King Agrippa.
Pero si ustedes recuerdan en Hechos capítulo 9,
but if you remember in Acts chapter 9,
cuando Dios le dice a Ananías que vaya a buscar a Pablo,
and the Lord spoke to Ananias and he said, go speak to Paul.
Cristo le dijo a Ananías de que Pablo iba a tener que sufrir mucho y que iba a dar testimonio ante los reyes.
And the Lord had said to Ananias that Paul was going to suffer much and he was going to come before the authorities for his preaching the truth.
Y se estaba cumpliendo el plan soberano de Dios.
And so this was carrying out the sovereign plan of God for Paul.
A veces nosotros no sabemos todos los detalles de nuestra vida, pero sí sabemos que hay un Dios que está en control de todos los detalles de nuestra vida.
Sometimes we don't, well, of course, we don't know all the details about our life and what's going to happen, but God does, and He has that plan for us.
Yes. Ahora, Pablo empieza a dar su testimonio.
So, Paul here begins to give his own personal testimony.
Si ustedes después quieren leer el capítulo 26,
if you want to read his testimony, you go back to the beginning of chapter 26.
En el versículo 4 habla mi vida desde mi juventud.
And you go back to verse 4 and Paul is saying this was my a manner of life, he says here, from my youth.
Y en el versículo 5, en la parte B, dice, conforme a la más rigurosa secta de nuestra religión, viví fariseo.
And in the last half of verse 5, he says that after the most straightest or strictest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee. That was his early life.
Él empieza a contar de su vida.
And he begins to tell about his life and what he did.
Y acá podemos entender de que por más que él haya sido uno de los religiosos que podríamos decir se sacó un 100.
And we could say that Paul was one of the most religious, quote, religious people, and he would get 100 for a grade.
Sabemos de que la salvación, el perdón de nuestros pecados, la vida eterna, no es por ser un 100 en religión, no es por obras.
So we understand from the Bible that it's not based on our works. It's not what grade we get for the things we do, but it's by faith.
En Sudamérica, la religión predominante es el catolicismo.
In South America, the Latin American world, the predominant religion is the Catholic religion.
Y la gran mayoría de las personas piensan que con sus obras van a poder salvarse o ir al cielo.
And the great majority of people think that it's based on their works, and that's what is going to merit them to be in heaven.
Pablo dice en Filipenses que esas cosas las tiene por basura.
And Paul said in the book of Philippians that he had those things for garbage. He said that's not worth anything before God.
Él sigue contando su testimonio y en el versículo 9.
And he continues to give his testimony here, and in verse 9.
Yo ciertamente había creído mi deber hacer muchas cosas contra el nombre de Jesús de Nazaret.
Verse 9, I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth.
Entonces era un tremendo religioso, pero si ustedes después leen van a ver que también era un tremendo asesino.
He was a religious fanatic, but he was also a murderer.
En el versículo 11 dice, o si querés leerlo muchas veces, castigándolo.
Verse 11, he says, and I punished them oft in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities.
Pablo estaba enceguecido por su religiosidad.
Paul was just completely consumed in his religion and being a religious zealot.
Pero también estaba enojado contra Cristo o contra los seguidores de Cristo.
But he was also angry against Christ and those who were Christ followers.
Pero hay algo que uno tiene que rescatar de eso.
There's something we need to take out of this portion.
Que aunque estaba completamente equivocado, estaba completamente entregado a lo que él creía.
We need to remember that even though he was completely wrong in what he was doing, on the other side, he was completely dedicated to the work that he was doing.
Y yo creo que vos y yo no estamos equivocados en lo que creemos.
And I believe that you and I are not mistaken in what we believe from the Word of God.
Y creo que Dios anhela de que cada uno de sus hijos y de sus hijas estén completamente entregados a lo que Él quiere que hagamos.
And I believe that God wants all of his children, sons and daughters, to be completely given over to the work that God has told us he has for us.
Pero hay algo más para pensar.
But there's something more to think about.
Cuando uno ve a una persona que está completamente enceguecida por su religión,
when we see a person who's completely blinded in what they believe in.
Muchas personas dicen, "No, él no va a salir nunca de ahí."
Yeah, a lot of people say, "Yeah, he or she's never gonna come out of that belief and that position that they're in."
Pablo era uno de los principales, era fariseo de fariseo.
Paul was one of the principal ones. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees.
Se creía que iba a ser el sucesor del gran Gamaliel.
He believed he was going to be the successor of the religion that he was following.
Paréntesis.
Excuse me. Agua. Okay.
Pero Dios lo pudo sacar de allí.
But God was able to take him out of that mess and mistaken fanaticism that he had.
O podemos pensar, este es un asesino, o este es un drogadicto, o este es una persona de muy mala vida. Este nunca va a cambiar.
And we can think, well, this person is a bad person, a wicked person. They're into drugs and a bad lifestyle, and there's no way that they're ever going to come out of that.
Pero mi Biblia, y creo que tu Biblia también, dice que el Evangelio es poder de Dios para salvación.
But our Bible says that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation, which means a rescue.
Okay. Pablo sigue dando su testimonio.
Paul continues to give his testimony.
Y cuenta ahí en el versículo 13, la parte B.
In verse 13, the last part of the verse.
Vi una luz en el cielo que me sobrepasaba. Y si querés leerlo hasta el final.
Yes, he said he saw a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining round about me and them which journeyed with me.
Y aquí él cuenta cómo fue su encuentro con Dios.
And here he tells how his encounter was with Jesus.
Pero hay que hacer una aclaración.
But we need to make a clarification.
La salvación de él no fue por un encuentro místico de que vio una luz.
The salvation of Paul was not some mystical thing when he saw a bright light.
Si bien sabemos que se encontró con Cristo, porque fue Cristo el que le habló.
But really he had an encounter with Christ, because it was Jesus that spoke to him.
Pero podríamos decir que eso fue el último empujoncito que le faltaba.
But this was like the last little push that he got to see the light and the truth.
Pablo había escuchado tiempo atrás la predicación del Evangelio cuando estaban matando a Esteban.
Paul had seen something of the truth of Christ at the stoning of Stephen.
Okay. La salvación, yes, no es experiencias místicas.
Salvation is not a mystical experience.
Viene por creer la verdad del Evangelio.
It comes through believing the truth of the gospel.
De que somos tan pecadores que hemos ofendido a un Dios santo y que nos merecemos el infierno.
We're totally depraved sinners. And we do not deserve to be in heaven, but separated from God in hell.
No importa si soy muy religioso o si soy un asesino.
It doesn't matter whether we're really religious or if we're a murderer.
Porque el problema no está en lo grande de mi pecado, sino a quién he ofendido.
The most important thing is not how big our sin is, but it's who is the Savior.
El Evangelio también es, yo no puedo hacer nada para limpiar mi pecado.
And the gospel is there's nothing I can do to clean up my life from my sins that I can do.
Es solo por la gracia, es solo por el amor, es solo por la misericordia de Dios para con nosotros.
It's only for grace. It's only for the mercy of God and his work in us.
Y la fe en aquel hombre que murió en aquella cruz por nuestros pecados y resucitó al tercer día. La fe en que Él era Dios hecho hombre.
And it's the faith in that one who gave his life for us. He was our substitute on the cross.
El Evangelio es, sos salvo no por obras, y sí para buenas obras.
And the salvation, our salvation is not by good works, but it's so that after we're saved, we should do good works.
Y aquí Pablo estaba haciendo una de las buenas obras que Dios había preparado para él.
And here Paul was doing some of the good works that God had worked in him that he should do.
Ahora sí vamos al versículo 18.
Okay, now we come back to verse 18.
Dice, para que abras sus ojos.
The first part of the verse saying, to open their eyes.
Un profesor en el Instituto Bíblico, claro, eso sirve con las palabras en español, pero un profesor del Instituto Bíblico decía que cuando en tu Biblia aparece un para, entonces para y mira.
Okay, there was a professor in Bible Institute that says when you see the word for, well, this is Spanish, you got to know a little Spanish, para, you should parar, you should stop and see. Like one of my professors said, when you see a therefore, you should stop and see what it's there for.
El primer para tiene que ver con lo que Pablo tenía que hacer.
And this has to do with what the work that God was giving Paul to do. The beginning part of this verse.
El primer para tiene que ver con lo que nosotros tenemos que hacer como iglesia.
And this is what we are to do as Christians and as a local church.
El segundo para tiene que ver con lo que es la obra soberana de Dios en el inconverso, en el no creyente.
So the word to, the first two, to open their eyes, that's our responsibility. And to turn them from darkness to light unto God. And that's the work of God.
Solamente Dios tiene el poder para trasladar a una persona del reino de las tinieblas al reino de la luz, o para pasarlo de muerte a vida.
And that's the work of God, to bring a person from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light, or from death unto life.
Y obviamente el respaldo de ese poder está en lo que Cristo hizo por nosotros.
And obviously the power here is the power of Christ, what he can do through us in the life of an unsaved person.
El tercer para tiene que ver con la responsabilidad individual, la responsabilidad humana.
And the third two in that verse is
reciban por la fe, que es en mí.
Go ahead, say it again. Dígale de vuelta.
Okay.
La
tercer para tiene que ver con la responsabilidad del ser humano. Él es el que tiene que recibir.
And the third two here is the responsibility of the one who is hearing the gospel to make that decision for Christ, that he might be saved.
Vamos a ver el primer para, el que tiene que ver con vos y conmigo.
Let's look again at the first two that has to do with you and me and our responsibility.
Es como que Dios nos manda a que seamos oftalmólogos espirituales.
It's It's almost like God has called us to be eye doctors, to open their eyes.
Yes. Y el ir a abrir los ojos a una persona es algo que es invasivo.
And that work to open the eyes of another person who's not saved is a work that takes consistency and time many times.
Por ejemplo, si él estuviera ahora con sus ojos cerrados.
For example, if I was with my eyes blinded.
Y yo tengo que invadir su espacio personal y tratar de abrirle los ojos.
And so I have to invade so to speak, comfort zone, and to work on his eyes.
Peor si está durmiendo.
It's worse if he's sleeping.
A veces las personas no quieren que tú le abras los ojos. Ellos quieren vivir ciegos.
Muchas veces, I'm sorry, many times people don't want you to invade their privacy and to try to help you to open their eyes. They want you to leave them alone.
Jesucristo dijo en Juan capítulo 3, en el versículo 18, 20.
In John 3, verses around verse 18 or 20.
Que las personas aman las tinieblas, aman su ceguera, aman no ver, aman su pecado.
It says in those verses that unsaved people love their darkness. They love it. They want to stay there.
Entonces es normal que cuando vos y yo querramos ir a abrirle los ojos, ellos no quieran, se molesten.
And so it's pretty understandable and common that when you try to open somebody else's eyes to the truth, that they don't want it. They turn you away.
Pero vos y yo sabemos cuál es el peligro que ellos están, que van a caer a un precipicio que tiene que ver con eternidad.
But we understand that that person that is rebelling and resisting is lost and could be very close to falling into hell.
Pero no solamente ellos quieren estar ciegos, sino que el diablo quiere mantenerlos ciegos.
And it's not only that they want to be left alone as they are, but the devil also wants to keep them in that condition.
Segunda de Corintios capítulo 4, versículo 4 dice así, ¿no? El Dios de este siglo ha enceguecido el entendimiento de los incrédulos. ¿Quieres que
yes,
lo leamos?
In 2 Corinthians 4:4 it says that the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not.
Para que no le resplandezca la luz del Evangelio de la gloria de Cristo.
So that the light of the gospel, the truth of the gospel, doesn't come in to their lives.
Ahora
it's time. It's getting tiempo de cerca.
Okay. Finish.
Finish. You understand that?
Ellos quieren estar ciegos. El diablo quiere mantenerlos ciegos.
They want to stay blind, and the devil wants to keep them blind as well.
Dios quiere que ellos puedan ver la luz, y quieren que vos y yo vayamos a abrirle sus ojos con el Evangelio.
But God's will and God's work through us is that we go to them to open their eyes that they might understand the truth of the gospel.
Y las persecuciones o las cárceles o lo que venga vale la pena. Es un pequeño precio a la par de todo lo que es la eternidad sin Cristo para esas personas.
And whatever the persecution might be, it's worth it because we are dealing with somebody who has an eternal soul and we have the opportunity to help them to see and understand the truth of the gospel.
y les pido que puedan estar orando por nosotros allí en Uruguay y nosotros orando por ustedes aquí en Estados Unidos. Es la misma tarea, diferentes países.
Yes, please pray for us in Uruguay as we endeavor to give the gospel to those people that are so hardened and rebellious. And we'll pray for you also here, because we all
gracias
have
por la oportunidad, Pastor.
We all have the same mission.
Dios
thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to share with you.